to this NPR station.
WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to look at one of the races for the St. Petersburg City Council. We'll hear from the candidates in the primary for District 5. That's Pinellas Point and some other parts of South St. Petersburg. We want to hear who you're supporting and why. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. But first, I want to play a comment that was left by a listener about my last show. One of the topics was the epidemic of gun violence. It's two listeners are talking about the epidemic of gun violence and mass shootings in the U.S.
Hey, this is Zach from Riverview. I have a comment for the air. Gun control. Number one, before they were a bad guy, every one of these people was technically considered a good guy the day before. And I'm an avid fisherman. I have several fishing poles, but fishing poles don't kill people. So I'm wondering, when it comes to gun control, no one ever mentions the number of guns people own. I think it's reasonable. You know, maybe someone has a pistol, a shotgun, and a rifle. So has anyone looked into, you know, taxing or fining someone for anything over three weapons per person? So at least we don't get these people who are just obsessed with guns and collecting, you know, tons and tons of guns. And then also, I think it was Chris Rock that said, you know, just make the ammunition expensive. Why not? I mean, if we're having such a hard time with legislation controlling the gun, can we put a tax on every bullet and then the proceeds from that would go to the victims? Thank you.
Hi, Sean. My name is James Upchurch. I live in Sebring, Florida, Highlands County. I'm with a group here called Indivisible, and we're trying to do something about getting rid of the gun shows which are permitted in Sebring across the street from our high school. Sebring is the only city in Florida that permits gun shows across the street from a high school.
Well, those were two listeners commenting about last week's show. That's on our website if you'd like to listen again, WMNF.org. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show, and you can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website, WMNF.org/news. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, and my name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. Today, we're going to focus on the primary election in St. Petersburg, and today specifically on an open race, and on a race for the open seat in South St. Pete and Pinellas Point, District 5. That district is currently represented by Steve Cornell, who is term limited out, but even if you don't live in that district, everyone in the city will be able to vote in the general election between the two candidates who get the most votes in this month's primary. And most of the audio that you're going to hear today is from a candidate forum that I attended last week. It was sponsored by the St. Pete Dems Club, and unfortunately, they only invited candidates who are registered Democrats. So that means that one candidate in this race was not invited. I reached out to him, but Philip Garrett did not respond to my phone call or my Facebook message. Another candidate in the race was not there. Beth Connor had what organizers called an excused absence because of a family emergency. We will hear from her later in the show. So now we're going to hear audio from the other three candidates in the St. Pete District 5 primary. And here's how this forum was organized. I want to tell you a little bit about how it was organized so that you understand what you're listening to. People in the audience wrote questions on note cards. The cards were drawn randomly. I would say there were about 60 people there in the audience. Each candidate got different questions. I decided that the most coherent way for me to present their answers to you would be to cut and paste all the answers for each candidate together, along with their opening and closing statements. But there's a twist as well. Each candidate had one, what they called wild card, where they were able to give their own answer to a question that an opponent had just answered. So we'll hear those three sets of responses later on. Got all that? Well, here we are. We're going to hear from Trinia Cox, Ann Lenhold Hirsch, and Deborah Figg Sanders. The first set of questions that we'll hear and answers will be from Trinia Cox, and she's answering questions here about zoning, about zoning laws, that is, and about gentrification after her opening statement.
I'm Trinia Cox, and I'm a candidate for the City of St. Petersburg City Council, District 5. I'm a native of St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm a graduate of Gibbs High School. I have a master's degree in sociology under Thurgood Marshall Fellowship. I have 35 years of experience. That includes child welfare, juvenile justice, education, and public administration. I have the honor of running four of Mayor Fisher's programs. That includes the Neighborhood Conservation Program, the Rental Inspection Program, the Convenience Store Safety Program, and I'm most proud of the Minority Business Enterprise Program. With that particular program, we were able to award 22% of city construction contracts to African Americans, Hispanics, and to women. I'm also a retiree from the Juvenile Welfare Board. I'm comfortable with budgets and budget developments. I'm a former president of the NACP, and I'm looking forward to serving you. I want to move the economic vitality of downtown St. Petersburg to our neighborhoods. With my experience and leadership ability, that can happen. Please vote for me August 27th. Thank you.
Can updated zoning laws be used to constrain overbuilding in downtown St. Pete, especially as it relates to height and density?
I think we have to look at the zoning laws and make them to be a friend of the people. Zoning laws are there to protect the integrity of neighborhoods, but they're also to safeguard what our vision for this city. We can use inclusionary zoning laws to make certain that we have affordable housing. We can use those laws to say there will be less parking requirements and so that people can have more units in which everyone has the opportunity to have new housing. We can also use zoning laws to make certain that single family homes are maintained in certain neighborhoods. But what's important to understand is that zoning should be a tool of the people to make certain that all income levels have the desired housing that's necessary. And I think inclusionary zoning makes it possible if we are just very visionary and very strategic in how we use them. And right now, it could be used to address our affordable housing issue. It can also protect the neighborhood's integrity. And it can also be used, if you will, to use it for developers to take a look at what they're doing, what they're asking for. And we can safeguard our city by using those proactively, so that we can make certain that all neighborhoods and incomes are protected for housing and homelessness.
How will you stop gentrification?
Now that's a very important question. It's very difficult to handle that because what's happening with gentrification is that low-income residents are being displaced by others who really are taking advantage of a very difficult situation. That's usually communities of color. So one of the things you're going to have to do is be clear with investors about our intent here. And the intent is to provide affordable housing. I got a call today from a gentleman moving back from Atlanta here. He has $24,000 a year, and he can't find a place to stay. And I called the city to say what's available. And right now, they didn't have an answer for me. And yet, we've been approving new construction. I am for what stops gentrification is making certain new construction includes housing for all income levels. Right now, you have a 15.2% poverty rate for all of City of St. Petersburg. Then 15% of the housing of new construction should be for those who are poverty stricken. That's one way that you stop it.
Thank you.
I retired from the Juvenile Welfare Board after 19 years of service. And while at the Juvenile Welfare Board, I was hired as a contract manager. And I was later on promoted to be community planning manager, and from there, faith-based coordinator, and from there, senior special services coordinator. What I'm saying to you, during that 19 years, I developed the skills necessary to handle the responsibility of being a council person. Budgets are not new to me. Their development, their analysis, or their amendments, that's not new to me. My work was recognized by the governor's office twice. It was also recognized by your current mayor. I chair the Social Allocation Committee for the City of St. Petersburg. And we review applications for homeless and homeless prevention services. This is what I do. I'm in a position now, retired, where I can have an independent voice so I can advocate for neighborhoods. The kind of intentionality that went to downtown St. Petersburg, that strategic planning, that braided funding, wonderful. Those four business organizations that got a chance to come together and look at what they wanted to see happen. Well, that vision I want to see recognized in our neighborhoods. I was on the planning team of Skyway Marina, and I know that once that plan is implemented, it'll be a model for what other neighborhoods can do. You can live, work, and play downtown. You can live, work, and play in your community, and I want to see that happen. I go to the clubs here, and I listen to jazz music, but I walk out, and there are homeless people there. That's why I joined the Homeless Leadership Board. I wanted to see that system redesigned. For me, it's really not about the politics. It's about the people. And I've got 35-plus years of experience and skill sets to help to make it happen. I want you to help me advocate for those kinds of changes. CRA should be a valuable tool, but it's not at this point in time because the requirements don't lend itself to really uplifting our community. It'll lift others, but not the community which it's designed to serve. And collectively, we can make it be the tool it's supposed to be. I hope you give me the opportunity to take my skills, my compassion for change. I was president of the NACP. My devotion to change has never been more vibrant than now. Give me the opportunity, elect Trinia Cox, District 5. I appreciate that.
Well, that was Trinia Cox. She's one of the District 5 candidates running in St. Petersburg. And I'd like to know what you thought about that and who you're supporting. You can call us now. I probably won't get to your phone calls right away, but I will read your emails or text messages in between each candidate. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Later on in the show, I'll open up the phones, and the number for that is 813-239-9663. Well, it's 12:17 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. My name is Sean Canaan. It's Midpoint Monday that you're listening to right now. We're going to hear from at least four of the candidates from District 5 in South St. Pete, Pinellas Point area. They're running in the August 27th primary, so that's just a couple of weeks away. And the top two will face each other in the general election November 5th, and everyone in the city of St. Petersburg who's registered will be able to vote for each of the districts. So it's a single member district for the case of the primary, but essentially it acts like an open election. You'll be able to vote for all the city council candidates who are remaining in the November 5th election. So if you're a St. Pete resident and you have a preference, let us know at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. I think it's also interesting, though, for people who aren't in residents of the city of St. Petersburg, but you know, the politics of St. Pete affect a lot of us. So give us a shout if you have an opinion about that as well. Well, let's move on to our next candidate. And this is Ann Hirsch. And in this case, she's answering questions about campaign funding and police accountability. And that's after she gives her opening statement, and you'll also hear her closing statement. So here is Ann Hirsch on 88.5 FM.
My name is Ann Hirsch, and with your vote, I'll be the next District 5 City Council person. I am running on a platform of unity through reparations. And in a time when our city and our country are more fighting against, I will move this city forward through reparations and justice to the Black community. We can stop the greedy developers, the crooked politicians, the high-rise condos by uniting with the Black community who has been on the front lines of this struggle for many decades. Together, we can make St. Pete a model of unity in a country torn apart by racist politicians and white nationalist fringe groups. It is in our interest to stand in solidarity with the Black community to struggle for justice and reparations. We must say to our government that we will not stand by and let you gentrify and destroy the Black community. Reparations is the only progressive agenda. My name is Ann Hirsch, and I'm running for District 5 City Council.
Who is funding your campaign?
Well, my campaign is funded by people who believe in reparations and believe that that's the way to move forward with our city, that we will all benefit. I am not funded by developers. I am not funded by the head gentrifier, Carl Nurse, who just endorsed the person who is funded by the most developers here in this race. I am funded by the people. I'm funded by people who are supporting reparations and want to see a new day in St. Petersburg where there's justice for the Black community.
In what ways will you ensure police accountability towards citizens in light of recent found abuse?
Well, my campaign has a platform called Black Community Control of the Police. And that's what we say will be the democratic answer to this, that in the black community, that the black community should have a democratically elected board to hire, fire, train, and discipline the police. I want to say that I'm appalled by the fact that those police got 2-week suspension. I believe that they should have been fired and arrested for assault. Any one of us in this room would have been arrested if it had been us. So black community control of the police is a democratic answer to this very, very horrible problem that we have. So my name is Ann Hirsch, and I'm running on a platform of unity through reparations to the black community because I believe that this is what will uplift our whole city. That justice and economic development in the black community is good for all of us. That the white community has been built at the expense of the black community, and we have an opportunity to rectify that. We have an opportunity to have our city return the land under the dome. Return Jordan Park, hands off Jordan Park, to establish black community control of the police, fix the rigged election system that we have that is anti-black. And I believe all of these things that are in their platform, there's 10 points in the platform, that it will uplift our whole city. And we can be the first city to take this stance. We can be a model city, and from there, other cities will want to come and see what we're doing and how we made a just and economically sound black community. Thank you.
That was Ann Hirsch's closing statement. We also heard her opening statement and answering questions about campaign funding and police accountability. She is one of the candidates for District 5 in St. Petersburg. Earlier, we heard Trina Cox, and she was answering questions about zoning laws and gentrification. Because they were all asked different questions, that's why I edited it together the way that I did. I hope it's making sense to you. We still have one more candidate to hear from on tape, and then we have another that's going to call in, and hopefully the fifth and final candidate will call in as well, although I have not heard a response from him yet. Well, this is WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM, and you're listening to all five, hopefully, candidates for St. Pete City Council District 5. That's South St. Pete, parts of South St. Pete and Pinellas Point. The person who currently represents that district is Steve Cornell. He's term limited. The top two vote getters of these five will move on to November's general election. So let's listen to the third candidate. This is Deborah Figgs Sanders. She has an opening statement and a closing statement, and in between she will answer questions about reparations, about increased housing density, and about education requirements for police officers, and about the sewage crisis. So here is Deborah Figgs Sanders on 88.5 FM.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Deborah Figgs Sanders, and I'm honored to present myself to you. I am a candidate for St. Petersburg Council District 5, and I bring to you over 30 years of corporate and social services experience. I'm also Gladiators, go Gibbs. I also have a master's degree and MBA. And I've spent 7 years with Childs Park YMCA, where I was able to partner with different programs, various programs, and I've accomplished a lot with partnerships through the city, county, St. Pete Police Department, as well as the Sheriff's Office. I've had the honor of being in the company of those that want to move our city forward. And we're looking, and we're speaking about unity, but we're looking to do that strategically. Everything that needs to be done successfully, you have to have a plan. And you can't state a problem without having a solution. And we're working for those solutions. I'm here to represent District 5, but I'm more so here to help move the other seven council members, whoever they may be, to a more positive and progressive St. Petersburg. Deborah Figgs Sanders, your candidate for District 5.
We've heard much on reparations. What exactly do you mean by reparations? Is it just a check, or are there other aspects to it?
Well, reparations hasn't been part of my platform, although it's very important to the African-American community, as well as it being important to our country as a whole. Reparation has definitely gotten attention nationally, And I do agree that the African-American community was shorted from our history of slavery and where they were promised, as we historically know it, as 40 acres and a mule. What reparations looks to me is that there are opportunities that can be afforded to the African-American community. I don't know how the funding would happen. I have not strategically sat down and tried to figure out how that is going to happen. I haven't heard anyone else do that either. So it's with that, as far as reparations are concerned, if someone comes up with a solution, a strategy that's feasible for the city of St. Petersburg to consider, I would definitely look into that proposal.
If given the opportunity, will you vote for or against the proposed changes in the comprehensive land plan to allow higher density than high hazard coastal zones?
So if I am translating the question, would I vote for the changes, which the changes I'm not familiar with,
which would allow higher density coastal areas?
Okay, so if I'm understanding the question, you're talking multifamily units, multifamily, multi-retail. I'm not really sure what they're alluding to in the question, but if you're talking about higher density toward the coastal areas, development during the coastal areas, when we look at the climate change and the climate wall and everything that was going on with development, I think we don't need to approve higher density closer to our coastline because of the erosion of our seawall and things that are going on with that. I would definitely need more information to sit up here and say I will or I will not without having that information, because I am the one that actually does research. You can't make good decisions with incorrect or incomplete information.
Who should pay for the sewage crisis?
And it's Big Sanders.
Big Sanders, I'm sorry about that.
I think everybody is responsible, but again, I am in true agreement that when developers come to the city of St. Petersburg, they should pay their fair share. That has been definitely part of my conversation. Are we going to be taxed? There may be opportunity for that. Are there opportunities for grants and federal assistance for that? I think we need to definitely investigate that. However, I do want to make sure that when it comes to the financial responsibility of the city, that everyone has an input as to how that should be done. Whenever you manage a large-scale budget, there's room from everywhere. You can move one from another, that I've actually found that we do quite well in the city of St. Petersburg, and we actually need to find those resources within without taxing the cities, our citizens of the city. But I would definitely think that the developers would also like to play a role, as well as those wishing to invest in our community.
Given the importance of jobs and the $52,000 starting salary for police recruits, would you support requiring more than a GED high school diploma for those positions?
No, I would not. Ladies and gentlemen, I keep it simple. Sometimes we invest too much time in trying to figure out a problem that's not there. I'm here to let you know, as the council person for District 5, I'm going to listen, I'm going to be effective, I'm going to do my homework, and I'm not bought and sold by anyone. I wear the heart, I carry the heart, I live by the heart of a public servant. Not my resume, I'd be up here all day if I gave you everything that I did. But the things that I did from the heart, I did for the community, and I did because I want that little girl right there to have a world that she will be able to grow up in safely, to have the education that she needs, to be able to afford the home that she would like to have, to be able to go the places that she can go without being judged. I need that unified community. I need that perfect city. I need that city of opportunity. And as a council member, I'm gonna work for that. It's not about me. It's not about me. It is about you. It's about the constituents and the citizens of the city of St. Petersburg. And I can work with anyone, and I can do the right thing by everyone. And for that, I'm asking for your vote for Deborah Fig Sanders, District 5.
That was Deborah Fig Sanders. She is one of the candidates running in District 5 in St. Petersburg. That district is where Steve Cornell currently represents, and it's Pinellas Point and other parts of South St. Pete. So that was Deborah Fig Sanders. Earlier we heard from Ann Hirsch, and before that we heard from Trinia Cox. Later on in the show, we will hear from Beth Connor, and if he gets the message in time, Philip Garrett. I tried reaching out to him a couple times on Friday, and I have not gotten a response, but Beth Connor will be calling in shortly. I have a little bit more tape to play for you from this forum, because what we've heard is we've heard the opening statements and the closing statements of those three candidates and them answering individual questions. But each of the candidates also got what they called a wild card, which is when one of the candidates was asked a question, they were able to one time respond to that question as well. And so right now we're going to hear from a couple of the people who did, from all three of these people who did choose to respond to others. But let me remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. This is WMNF's Midpoint Monday. It's 12:31 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan, and I'm playing audio to you from a forum of candidates from South St. Pete, in this case, for the St. Petersburg election. The primary election is August 27th. The top two vote getters in each district will face each other in the general election on November 5th. Every registered voter in the city of St. Petersburg can vote in all the districts on November 5th. I should also say that there were other candidates at this forum that you're not going to hear from today, and here's the reason why. There was one candidate in District 7. And as I mentioned earlier, this particular forum only invited certain candidates that were registered Democrats. And so there was only one District 7 candidate who was at the forum. One other candidate, who is also the incumbent, had a sign there that said "Missing in Action," and that was Lisa Wheeler Bowman. She's an elected city council member and was invited to this forum and opted to decline. And there was also one candidate from another district. Well, and since I only had one candidate, I wasn't going to play the tape, but maybe I'll try to do something next week with those other races. But here is Ann Hirsch, one of the candidates that we heard earlier, answering two questions, and two of the people called wild cards and also responded. So we'll hear Ann Hirsch and Trinia Cox's answers to a question about their contributions to their community. And then we'll hear Ann Hirsch and Deborah Figg Sanders answering questions about the Southside Community Reinvestment Act area. So here they are on 88.5 FM.
What major contribution have you made for your community?
I am a longtime supporter of the Uhuru movement. I am a member of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and I've been raising reparations for 20 years. I would say that's the most important contribution that I have made to this community. And now this campaign is saying that the city needs to pay reparations to the Black community, that this city was built at the expense of the Black community, and that the labor that went into that needs to be returned to the Black community. And I support that, and I call on all people in this city to support that and say our city can be the first reparation city. We can have a just city. We can have a city where everyone can thrive, and that we all benefit from that. We do not have to develop our city at the expense of anyone else.
I think I want to use my wild card on that. I think it's important that we outline a history of devotion to social change and community involvement. In 2000, I joined the NACP here in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I was in charge of the Community Coordination Committee. I was vice president, but I ended up being president. And during my presidency, we were able to form a MOU with the Tampa Bay Rays so that if they wanted to do some development, they would use minority contractors. That MOU is still active. It was signed by Stu Sternberg, and we still have that. That's the NACP St. Petersburg under my leadership. We had a Monty Irvin Scholarship, $5,000, again funded by the Tampa Bay Rays. And also during that time, unfortunately, a young man died in Escambia County, Martin Lee Anderson, because they had a so-called boot camp program. And we, NACP, St. Petersburg, and the state NACP closed all of those. I was appointed twice by the governor to the Faith-Based Community-Based Advisory Council. And we provide information and referrals and guidance to them on child welfare and adoption, on adoption issues. I also trained 200 faith-based leaders to look at how we can best help school readiness and school success opportunities. Thank you.
What is your opinion of the South Side CRA?
Well, the CRA is gentrification. So the CRA is when a developer can go in, buy up a little bit of land, raises the value of the homes on that land, and the taxes go up. And that is put into a little fund. And I think it is a slap in the face of the Black community because it makes it look like they want to say that it's something for the Black community, but it's $60 million over 30 years. That's all. When they just spent $85 million to build a police station, that is a slap in the face of the Black community, and the CRA just gives the opportunity for white developers to come in there. The rules that allow people to get those grants, many people that are in the born working class Black community cannot live up to those requirements. And so it's an invitation, and it's actually what the city is using to gentrify the Black community. Smoke and mirrors to gentrify the Black community.
I want to use my wild card to address that. First of all, when we look at the funds that were used to build the police stations, they were not CRA funds, so you're comparing apples to oranges, so let's go ahead and correct that. Second of all, when you look at the CRA, it was actually intended to reduce blight and poverty. And yes, I'm in agreement that the CRA funds have not been used as they were intended. And I'm so glad to actually have a seat at the table to assure that our city, our administrators, and those that are trying to misuse those funds understand the voices and they hear the residents as to what should be done with those dollars. With my placement on CAC, I've been able to block and stop some of those dollars and how they're being misused. Now, I'm using this platform to ask you, the citizens and the residents of the city of St. Petersburg, join me, come to those CAC meetings, let them hear and understand what it is that you want to see done with those dollars. They're regulated like most federal funds, but they are not funded the same way as those dollars for the police station. But I'm using this time to ask you, please become involved in your CAC.
That was Deborah Figgs Sanders, and before her, we heard Ann Hirsch. They were answering a question about the Southside Community Reinvestment Act area, and then right before that, we heard Ann Hirsch and Trinia Cox answering about their contributions to community. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:38 in the afternoon. I just have one more short piece of tape to get to before we get to our next guest, who is also a candidate in the District 5 primary for St. Pete City Council. And I do want to let you know, if you want to write in and say who you're supporting and why, it's dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. You can call, if you don't mind holding for a few minutes, 813-239-9663. Normally, I would say, do you have a question for our guests? But I have to say, when our next guest does join us on the line, I'm going to try to ask questions that were asked during this forum so that we get an idea of similar questions. So the last piece of tape, as I mentioned, that we're going to play is Ann Hirsch used her wild card to respond to this question that was posed to Trinia Cox about redeveloping the area where Tropicana Field is. So here is Trinia Cox answering the question, followed by Ann Hirsch.
What is your plan for the 85 acres under the Tropicana Dome?
Thank you so much for that question, because I do have a plan for those 85 acres. I think that's prime land for a lot of things to happen. First of all, what we need to have is have a conference hotel placed there so that we can attract other national events to this community, and that brings in an infuse of dollars to this community. That's number one. Secondly, it's in the Innovation District. We need to pull upon the John Hopkins Hospital as well as USF St. Petersburg so we can expand those courses so that we can offer programs in these key areas that brings about marketable and gainful employment. I'm talking about marine and life sciences. I'm talking about data analytics. I'm talking about finance services, light manufacturing, and the arts. So we can use that as a thrust for that. It could be an incubator for those who need businesses that's in the community. And it could also be a way to, shall we say, mend and blend downtown with our neighborhoods, because that's been missing. And it might even serve as a healing piece if we can get affordable housing, business incubators in there, as well as opportunity for us to put a nice African-American museum there so it can be a destination location like some of our other museums are in downtown St. Petersburg.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, long-term research?
So my platform says that that land was a black community, 100 businesses, 300 homes, 800 families. That needs to be returned to the black community with an infusion of capital, and so that the black community can decide what to do with that land, what kind of businesses to build, what kind of affordable housing to build. And when the black community has control of that, then that will uplift the black community and that will uplift our whole city. I want to see something different for this city, different than what Ms. Cox was just talking about. That's more of the same, more gentrification, more pushing out the black community. We say that reparations is that land going back to the black community under their control in a reparations land trust.
Yay. Well, that was Ann Hirsch. And before her, we heard Trinia Cox. They were answering about how they would redevelop the Tropicana Field area if it indeed comes time to for the Rays to either leave or demand another stadium there, whatever, however that plays out. This is how they would each develop the Tropicana Field area. So we've heard now from Ann Hirsch, Trinia Cox, and Deborah Figg Sanders. And you can email in your response. Who would you support? And we're going to hear right now from Beth Connor. She's on the line. And let me put her on.
Hello?
Hi, Beth. Thanks so much for calling in. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. And probably in the interest of fairness, what I should do is ask you to tell us in 1 minute, like the other candidates got, why are you running for St. Pete City Council?
Well, I'm running because I have a lot of great new and exciting ideas. And I really believe I can help move us forward in a positive direction. I believe the city is at a crossroads. We've made some tremendous strides, but we've had our struggles as well. And some very important decisions are going to be made in the next few years regarding the character of our city, housing, and transportation. And I realize while none of these issues are easy, we need to decide together what direction we want the city to take. And that means bringing everyone to the table. My campaign is focused on public engagement. I want to make sure every citizen knows what resources are available to them and what they can do to leverage those resources to make their lives better. I think we need to implement a more holistic approach when it comes to solving our city's problems, and one that makes sure everyone has a voice in the process.
Well, let me ask you, I'm going to interrupt you because sure. That was roughly a minute, and that's about how long all the other candidates got to give their introductions during this forum the other day. Let me ask you some of the questions that came up a couple of times during that forum and see how you would respond. First of all, gentrification. The question was asked, how would you stop gentrification?
Well, you know, stopping or going on development a lot of times are market forces, but my answer is, I'm advocating for raising the minimum wage and allowing housing that allows people to stay in their homes. We need to work together to make things tenable for people to stay there. We have a problem with pricing people out of their homes and neighborhoods. This is a big problem. We have attainable housing problems all around the city. And I think that making the best use out of the Penny for Pinellas attainable housing funds and getting in there and making sure that there is delineated funding by using that lockbox that is being proposed by City Council to make sure that we don't keep getting preempted by the state on what our priorities are and how we want to best protect our citizens.
Our guest is Beth Connor. She is one of the five candidates running for St. Petersburg City Council District 5. That's south parts of St. Petersburg, including Pinellas Point. So, Beth, we just heard answers from two of the candidates about if the Tropicana Field property has to be redeveloped, how they would redevelop it. So how would you do that?
Well, whether baseball stays or goes, we need to keep moving forward on what that planning is. we have a lot of urgent needs in the city that should be included in this. Attainable housing, a convention center or hotel, something that brings people into the city that also creates jobs and spreads the wealth. I think that we have an incredible opportunity here, and one of my priorities for the site is to bring employment and quality jobs for people of all education levels. It's not just about what I want. It's about what our residents want, and we need to make sure everyone's voice is heard on this. This is a major piece of property in a major city, and so this is our way to do it right, and I believe we can do that.
Our guest is Beth Connor. She's running for St. Petersburg City Council, District 5. The primary election is in just a couple of weeks, August 27th. And we heard a lot of questions there about reparations for the Black community. What are your thoughts about reparations?
Well, you know, in talking to people going door to door in my district, that has not been brought up. And so I'm open to hearing about the specifics of it, but right now I don't have, strong feelings one way or the other.
We're talking now about the coastline, and one question was brought up where should density, residential density, that is, be higher near the coastlines in St. Petersburg?
No, density, we should be retreating from the coast as much as possible because of climate change and sea level rise. Right now, the flood maps are being redrawn, if they haven't already, in the city of St. Petersburg. What should be happening, because right now there are developments happening in the high coastal hazard area, we need to make sure that they are sustainable and that they are hardened and that they are structures that are going to last. But I don't think that intense density in mangroves are going to help. I think we need to start planting seagrasses and mangroves to help to have sand stop and build our coasts and protect our shorelines from what is going to come.
Our guest is Beth Connor. She's one of the candidates running for District 5 St. Petersburg City Council in the primary. One question that was asked of the candidates, or some of the candidates, that is about the sewage crisis in St. Petersburg and in Pinellas County, and who should pay to solve that crisis?
Well, right now we've got a plan. It has been working on for the last 3 years. It is being paid for under a consent order we have with the state. I think that we continue to work this plan. We are going to be on the road. This situation didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. But right now, I believe the city is doing its utmost to get us out of this, and we should all be able to put forth our best effort on doing what we can to support and figure out how we're going to move forward on this. Unfortunately, we have been left a mess by at least 4 previous administrations. So it is something that I would be looking at very carefully because my district was disproportionately affected by these sewage spills, and continue with this plan. That is, it's going to work.
Well, Beth Connor, one of the 5 candidates running in the District 5 race for St. Petersburg City Council. Each of the other candidates got about 10 minutes total, and with your 1 minute or so remaining, would you like to give a closing statement to the people who are listening?
Yes, I would. I, first of all, would like to say appreciate everyone who is listening today and tell them that I am a person who has lived in my district for over 50 years. I love this city, and I know it well. I am not the type of person who will stand back and wait for someone else to fix a problem. I will jump in and do what it takes to get it fixed. I also don't back down from things I firmly believe in, and one of those is protecting the environment. I have been a member of the Sierra Club since 1986, and I've worked both on a professional and volunteer level. With other nonprofits as well in the city. I know what it takes to bring people together. I know how important it is to have all voices heard and community buy-in, and I want to bring that knowledge and experience together to get us all in one motion moving forward and accomplish these priorities and goals that we so desperately need in District 5. And I am the candidate to do it, and I would be honored to have everyone's vote.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on WMNF's Midpoint Monday, Beth.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for calling in. Beth Connor is one of five candidates running in the District 5 race for St. Petersburg City Council, where we heard from three of the others earlier in this show. I want to know who you favor, 813-239-9663. You can also email in at dj@wmnf.org. If you can text 813-433-0885. I've got a couple of people who just texted in without any name or anything. So sign your text if you don't mind. I don't think people will mind hearing who you're supporting. So let me read a couple of these and then we'll go to your phone calls as well. Again, 813-239-9663. It's 12:51 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM. We heard earlier from Trinia Cox, Ann Hirsch, Deborah Figg Sanders, and Beth Connor. Those are four of the five candidates in District 5 St. Pete City Council race. Philip Garrett, I called him and I Facebook messaged him on Friday and I have not heard back. I'd love to hear from you, Philip, before the end of the show. 813-239-9663. Anyone who'd like to call in. Well, someone who did not sign their text from the 727 wrote in just Figg Sanders. So I guess that's a support for Figg Sanders. And the same thing happened from someone from the 954 area code, also wrote Figg Sanders. So thank you for those two messages there. Let me read through a couple of these other text messages. Let's see. Sorry about this. I'm trying to read on the fly here. We have another person writing in Figg Sanders. Maybe I'm getting spammed by a Figg Sanders bot here. That was a joke. Yeah, somebody else did that too. So maybe that's either it's a very popular answer, or it's the same person just doing it from multiple phone numbers. All right, well, if you'd like to join the conversation, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. And, you know, I know this is just one district in one city of our whole area, but everyone in that city will be able to vote in the general election for the top two, for whoever they like of the top two of these. And it's also a pretty important city, especially on the coast there. So even if you're not from St. Petersburg, please send us a note or give us a call and tell us who you are supporting. 813-239-9663. You know, we can also talk. Last hour, there was a very lively discussion about the Jeffrey Epstein parent suicide. So a lot of people have a lot of questions about that and a lot of opinions about that. I was reading some of the texts that were coming in to Rob after his show ended even about that. So, you know, maybe people were listening on a little bit of a delay or something, but those were, you know, if you'd like to weigh in on that, give us a call. Or if you want to talk about St. Pete City Council race. And I didn't mention who was at the forum that in District 7, it was Erythea Akili-Kanyon. She was the District 7 candidate who did show up, and Lisa Wheeler Bowman did not show up for the District 7 race. And I just wanted to point out who did and who did not show up. Lisa Wheeler Bowman is in District 7 is the incumbent there. All right, let's go to the phone lines and see who's on the line. Hi, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Morning. I'm calling from St. Pete's Historic Old Northeast.
Okay, so you're not in this district, but what thoughts do you have about this District 5 race, Maureen?
Well, I think it's a competitive race for sure, especially at the top three levels. But I think, for all purposes, I think Beth Connor hands down has it nailed. She is the one person who will represent everybody. No matter what color, no matter what social, economic status, I think Beth has it nailed.
All right. Now, I don't know if you will want to answer this, but is Beth someone you've known, and is that why you're supporting her, or is there a particular platform?
I do know Beth. I know Beth. I don't know Beth as a personal friend. I know Beth politically from my own community activisms, and I have seen Beth come, no matter what neighborhood was at distress, Beth was always there in front of city council, in front of any commission that had a problem, where communities had a problem. Beth was always there speaking up for a multitude of issues. Beth is a real community representative.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate you calling in, Maureen. Thank you for that call. 813-239-9663 if you'd like to weigh in on the District 5 race in St. Petersburg. And some of these text messages that did come in, I got about 10 of them that were saying Fig Sanders. And at first they were not signed, but then later on a lot of people called, went in and signed. So there's a lot of a coordinated effort for people to write in about that. So I appreciate that. Let me read one or two of the text messages that came in at the beginning of my show, but I think they were people listening maybe on delay from Rob's show, because it's a very interesting conversation that happened last hour on about the Jeffrey Epstein case that we'll be talking about, I'm sure, for a long time. So this is a text message from the 904 area code. It says, "We all know that somebody else, not himself, committed the deed, and rightly so, in my opinion." Well, that's an opinion, of course, very controversial. Donald Trump has tweeted similar things to that. I think it was more of a meme necessarily than a statement. But it's a lot of people are really putting out a lot of conspiracy theories about this Epstein supposed suicide. Here's an anonymous message that says, "Violence has no boundaries. Yes, there is racism, but only part of it. It's mostly men, but there are many women who have control and anger issues. Most men treat women badly, but so do women. It can be from intellectuals to ignorance, etc." So I think that was in response to something that maybe happened, a discussion last hour about why there's violence and so on. I also, you know, one of the interesting topics today that I want to talk a little bit about, you've heard a little bit on the NPR headlines, is what's going on with this explosion that happened in Russia. There may have been a relatively small nuclear explosion in Russia on a rocket that they were trying to fire using nuclear propellant. And there was an accident and people were injured, and we don't know all the details yet, but I'm going to watch that story as it develops. We heard a little bit on NPR, hopefully at the top of the hour, that we'll hear more as well. So, you know, we're definitely going to follow that. Well, I want to thank everyone who called in and everybody who emailed and texted today. If you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, call me at 813-238-8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next show. If you missed any of this show, you can listen to it, on our website, wmnf.org/news. Oh, I made a slip, but it's actually true. I did video the forum the other night, and so I will put the video up on our website of the forum. Our guest Beth Connor will not be in that, but all the other candidates will, including two candidates from races we didn't really talk that much about today. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now. Coming up at the top of the hour is Latino 54, and that's on after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to remind you that the last day to vote in the St. Petersburg primary is August 27th. The top two people in each race will face each other in the general election on November 5th. Well, thanks so much for listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM.